Welcome to the first quarter 2017 Bolsa Mexicana de Valores S.A.B. de C.V. earnings conference call. My name is Sylvia, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Ramon Güemes, CFO. Mr. Güemes, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning. And welcome to Bolsa Mexicana de Valores' first quarter 2017 earnings conference call. Before proceeding, I'd like to provide a brief safe harbor statement. This presentation contains forward-looking statements and information related to Bolsa that are based on the analysis and expectations of its management, as well as assumptions made and information currently available at the Bolsa. Such statements reflect the current views of Bolsa related to future events and are subject to risk, uncertainties, and assumptions. Many factors could cause the current results, performance, or achievements of Bolsa to be somewhat different from any future results, performance, or achievements that may be expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements, including, among others, changes in general economic, political, governmental, and business conditions, both in a global scale and in the individual countries in which Bolsa does business, such as changes in monetary policies and inflation rates and prices and business strategies and various other factors. Should one or more of these risks or uncertainties materialize, or should underlying assumptions prove incorrect, actual results may vary considerably from those described herein as anticipated, believed, estimated, expected, or targeted. Bolsa does not intend and does not assume any obligation to update these forward-looking statements. I would also like to remind participants that today's call is being recorded and a replay of this call will be available online on April 20th at the Bolsa's corporate website, www.bmv.com.mx. During this call, all figures are in Mexican pesos and compared to the first quarter of 2016 unless stated otherwise. This call is intended for the financial community only, and the floor will be open at the end to address any questions you may have. Joining us for today's call are Jose Oriol Bosch, CEO, Pedro Zorrilla, SVP of Corporate Services, Jose Manuel Allende, SVP of Strategic Planning and Business Development, Roberto Gonzalez, SVP of Post Trade Division, Luis Rodriguez, Chief Technology Officer, Paula Zorrilla, Investor Relations, and myself, Ramon Güemes. I would now like to turn the call over to Oriol Bosch.
Thank you, Ramon, and thank you to everyone on the phone for joining our first quarter 2017 conference call. First of all, I would like to begin by pointing out the positive changes that we have seen in the Mexican macroeconomic environment. As you remember, we began the year with a very uncertain and volatile scenario. However, since then, we have had a very relevant and successful IPO from José Cuervo, one that had previously been postponed due to unfavorable market conditions. We believe this represents renewed confidence in the opportunities that our market has to offer. Additionally, we have now seen an appreciation of the peso from a maximum of almost 22 pesos per dollar in mid-January to 18.80 at the end of March and currently around 18.60. Finally, last April 11, our IPC index reached a new record high of 49,637 points. Moving on, this quarter we had great results. Again, we exceeded our last quarter record performance, reaching for the fifth consecutive time a new record EBITDA margin of 57%, and for the second time in a row, a historical maximum net income of 277 million pesos. Let me now give you a quick overview of this quarter's results. Revenues grew 15%, reaching 771 million pesos. We had revenue growth across all our business lines. Significantly, Mexdera and Asigne continued with a positive revenue trend. Expense growth was 5%, mainly explained by additional personal costs related to SIFS ICAP performance, some consulting fees, and new depreciations. EBITDA grew 24%, reaching a margin of 57%. And in net income, we delivered 277 million pesos, growing 22% against the first quarter of 2016. Now let me summarize the main events since our last conference call. In line with our efforts to constantly upgrade our technology and to reach out new customers, we are improving our market data product offering with a new point of presence in New York Equinix Center. This will provide our international clients access to Bolsa Mexicana and Mexder's data without the intervention of a third party or high connectivity cost. We believe this initiative will generate new business opportunities for the group. On March 6th, we received an award for our sustainability efforts from the Climate Bond Initiative during their annual conference in London due to the implementation of the most advanced listing procedure for green bonds. Additionally, on March 16, we hosted a forum for green bonds in Mexico to promote their use and advantages for the market and the global community. During this event, we announced the issuance of three new green bonds in 2017 for Solar City, the Development Bank FIRA, and a second issuance for Mexico City. On February 23rd, we announced that we were ending our routing agreement with the CME since its results had been far below our expectations. Order routing under this agreement will end on the 25th of August of this year. It is important to mention that other commercial agreements between Bolsa and CME remain in force, and we will continue with our effort to innovate and promote the market's development. During the quarter, we continued with our promotion efforts with potential and current issuers. We held several events at the exchange where we hosted listed companies. On this topic, I am glad to tell you that we had three new small-medium companies issuing debt in the Mexican exchange: Mexarrent in February, Sushito in March, and Corporación Financiera in February as well. As I mentioned before, during February, when the international mood towards Mexico was at the low end, we had an important IPO from José Cuervo, a well-known tequila producer, for a total amount of 18.6 billion pesos, and a follow-on for Grupo Cementos Chihuahua with an amount of 4.9 billion pesos. Let me now review our financial results in more detail. In cash equities trading, revenues were 75 million pesos, increasing 13% versus the same period of 2016, mainly explained by a higher daily average value traded, which increased from 15 billion pesos during the first quarter of 2016 to almost 16 billion pesos in the first quarter of 2017. Clearing revenues were 51 million pesos, increasing 2 million pesos or 4%. Derivatives had great results, with revenues reaching 65 million pesos, 24 million pesos or 60% higher than the same quarter in 2016. The reasons are, in Mexder, the good performance of the 28-day TS swap and the increased trading for the US dollar future contract, and in Asigna, the recovery of margin deposits, which grew from almost 16 billion pesos during the first quarter of 2016 to 41 billion during the current quarter. This represents growth of 159%. CIFICAP's revenues increased by 11%, explained by higher sales in CIFICAP Chile and the impact of the exchange rate in this business revenues. CIFICAP Mexico had fewer revenues than the first quarter of 2016, due mostly to market consolidation. Custody revenues increased by 14% or 18 million pesos, explained by higher activity in the equity market that requires more transaction services and the exchange rate impact in sub-custody fees. Market data sales grew 34% or 32 million pesos due to the impact of the exchange rate on market data fees, extraordinary revenues, and more clients. Listing and maintenance revenues grew 3%. Listing revenues decreased 12% versus the first quarter of 2016, explained mainly by lower listings, especially of long and short-term debt. On the other hand, maintenance revenues grew 4%, explained by 2016 listings. Expenses for the quarter amounted to 353 million pesos, with an increase of 18 million pesos, or 5% against last year's first quarter. Personal expenses increased 3%, or 6 million pesos, totaling 192 million pesos. Growth is driven by the variable component of SIF ICAP compensation linked to the good performance in Chile. Consulting fees grew 3 million pesos, mainly due to Asigna's credit rating valuation and some strategy consulting fees. Depreciation costs increased in 14%, or 2 million pesos, explained by new system from Asigna and Valmer. There was also an increase of 11% in the fees paid for sub-custody, driven by increased activity in our global market, SIC, and exchange rate movements during the quarter. This is in line with the additional in the VAL revenues. Rent and maintenance expenses increased in 2 million pesos, or 16%. This due to repairs in our air conditioning and fire prevention systems. Technology expenses grew because of our new surveillance system, SMART. This income and expenses results led us to an operating margin for the first quarter of 2017 of 54% and an EBITDA margin of 57%. The tax rate was of 28% in line with the 2016 number. Net income was 277 million, 22% higher than the figure for the first quarter of 2016. Finally, I would like to comment that on April 27th, we will be holding our shareholders' annual general assembly, where the payment of 1.25 pesos per share dividend will be proposed. This dividend is equivalent to a 77% payout ratio and a 4.36% dividend yield. With this, I conclude my presentation, and together with my colleagues, we will be gladly answering any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. And the first question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, Oriol, and congrats in your results. Given your strong first quarter results, I'm just wondering if you're planning to change your EBITDA margin and your net income guidance for the year, or if we can expect the top end of your guidance range. On my second question is related to the expenses. We noticed that there were expenses related to the new surveillance system SMART from NASDAQ and some advisory fees regarding the competitive environment. Can you share with us what are you expecting in terms of the new changes in regulation and how is Bolsa preparing to face new competition? And finally, what can we expect for the new changes to the Maxbol index accordingly to your alliance with the S&P? And can you anticipate which could be the major changes? Thank you.
Ernesto, good morning. We're not planning to upgrade our guidance. It's just the first quarter, and we have to see how the year develops. But in general, it's been our practice in the past not to change our guidance, and we're definitely not going to do it in Q1. Mm-hmm. If you could repeat your second question, please.
Yes, the second question is related to expenses you have done for the new surveillance system SMART from NASDAQ and some advisory fees regarding the competitive environment. So I just want to know how is Bolsa preparing to face new competition, and if you can share with us what are the new changes in regulation.
Thank you, Ernesto. Regarding the new competitor, let me tell you, from the regulatory standpoint, we are still waiting for the final regulation for exchanges. As you know, regulation in Mexico is required to change in order to have more than one exchange. This regulation, I think, that is about to be released. And we have been working with authorities as well as other participants in this project, and I think that is going to be ready in the next days. That's my guess. But there is still another regulation that is pending, that is the regulation for the broker-dealers. This is still a draft. I think that there is a second draft that is being discussed, but it's not... I think that is far away to be released, officially released. So it's going to take a couple of weeks or months, I think. Regarding the new competitor, I'm sure that it's going to be another question, but we have no new news on that. What I can tell you, and it's coming from them, not from us. They have not received the required concession title yet, and according to them, they will get it in the next days, in this month. And they are also saying that they will start operations in the month of September. This is the last that we have heard from them. And which is very different from what we heard when they announced that they were going to open a new exchange. Initially, they said that they were going to start operations in October 2016. So this is a one-year delay if they really start on September. But this is all we have. So at some point they will open, and I think that this is a fact. Maybe interesting to mention here regarding competitor, and again, this is not coming from us, coming from one of the most well-known think tanks in Mexico that released a few days ago a public, and by the way, this think tank is completely independent and autonomous, and they released a very interesting study about competition in Mexico. And one of the topics that they analyzed is the case of one or two exchanges in Mexico. And the conclusion, I think, that did not surprise anyone, they conclude that a second exchange in Mexico will not solve the structural problem at all, and that the second exchange will increase the cost and will bring inefficiencies for the participants and the investors. If you want, this is a public study that was not solicited, requested from us, but we can gladly share with you.
That will be great.
Sorry, and finally, Ernesto, regarding the IPC changes that or plans, we cannot comment on those specifics, but what I can comment to you is that according to the governance practices that we have implemented now with S&P, at the end of last year we launched a public consultation in which we were asking index users to comment about the different indexes. In the case of the IPC, there were three or four proposal or topics to be discussed on. We received comments from all market participants, and now the committee is reviewing them. And once they finally have the decision, they will disclose it to everyone, including some of us at the exchange.
Great. Thank you very much, Real.
Thank you, Ernesto.
Our next question comes from Alex Spada from Itaú BBA.
Hi, gentlemen. Good morning. First of all, congratulations on the results. Surprisingly good. And I have a few follow-up questions on the competitive topic. So the first one is, is it necessary to have both regulatory pieces out in order to have competition happening in Mexico? I'm talking about the first one, which you mentioned is already very close from being published, but also the second piece that relates to the brokers. And then I'll come back with another question. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that the first one regarding bolsas is necessary in order to give them the financial authorities to give them the concession title. And this is again, I'm not an expert on that. This is my guess because as of today, the regulation is just talking about one exchange. So I think that this is the case now. The other one regarding the broker dealers, the brokerage houses in Mexico, I think that this one is required to start operations because the second one is much more focused on issues like best execution and this kind of thing. So I think that it would be required for the second part that is to start operations, not just to get the concession title, and according to them, they are expecting to have a period of time from April to September from getting the concession title to starting operations.
Okay, but with that in mind, and given all the history in Mexico, and that applies to Brazil as well, of course. But normally, all of these regulations take much longer than expected to have their final versions published. We saw that with the mandatory clearing of derivatives in Mexico. We're seeing now that with the competition. And the question is, do we really think it's feasible to have, especially this brokerage regulation, published as early as the second half of 2017, given that it appears to be in a much earlier stage in terms of maturity of the discussions?
Well, that does not depend on us, but honestly, we think that, yes, it is feasible to have it ready. And as mentioned, there was a first draft that was shared from the regulators with the different participants at the beginning of the year, and a second draft that was shared a couple of days ago. So it looks like they are moving very quickly. So so I think that, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The deadline for comments on this second release is the end of this month. It will take a month in the regulatory process, and it is possible to have this second piece of regulation, this piece of regulation ready as soon as June. I think so. It may be possible.
Okay. Thank you. That's very clear. And just in another topic, very quickly, do you have a proposed date for the stock to be ex dividends, assuming it will be approved in the shareholders' meeting?
We don't have it yet. We don't have the dividend payment date yet, Alex. It's going to be early May. We'll announce after the assembly. We'll announce the payment date, and the next dividend will be 3 days before.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you, Ramon, and once again, congratulations on the quarter.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
Our next question comes from Tito Labarta from Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for the call. A couple questions also. I guess first on your maintenance revenues, they held up pretty strong, up 4% compared to last year, even though there was a sharp drop in debt listings last year. So you just want to get a little more color there and kind of, what drove that, and is that number sustainable in terms of maintenance revenues for the rest of the year? It tends to be stable after you get the first quarter, but just want to get a little bit more color on that. And then a second question, maybe a bit longer term. You know, we saw very good EBITDA margin this quarter. Yeah, I know you're not changing your guidance for this year, but do you think this 57% EBITDA margin is something that can be sustainable in the long run? Was it a one-time thing this quarter? Maybe if you can, you know, just give some color on how you think about that margin evolving over the next few years. Thank you.
Tito, good morning. Regarding maintenance, the increase is determined by the net effect of new listings in 2016 and listings that came to an end or that matured in 2016, and that's what determines the growth rate. If you were to have more issues coming to an end during the year, the new listings, you'd see a decline in the number. Having said that, this number should be very stable for the full year. We bill and collect this concept in advance, so we have over 97% of this already collected and in the balance sheet, and we just amortize it throughout the year. So it should be very, very stable.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, that's very helpful. Thanks.
And regarding your second question, it's difficult to say, Alex. This quarter we had $10 million of non-recurring revenues. We had very good results in SIF ICAP. And SIF ICAP can be volatile sometimes. Those non-recurring revenues will definitely not be happening again in Q2. So let's not anticipate the Q2 results just now.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Thanks, Ramon. But I'm also thinking, you know, longer term, is this maybe, do you have any EBITDA margin targets in mind that you think are achievable, you know, over the next couple of years? You know, just comparing to other global exchanges, you are, your margins are a bit lower. So I just want to get a sense, you know, what the, you know, potential could be. If you have any idea, I know it's tough to say longer term.
You know, we definitely don't have a maximum, a ceiling that we think we cannot grow beyond. So could we beat the 57? Yes, definitely we could in medium long term. I think not only we could, but we will. So yes, medium long term, of course, it's beatable.
Great. That helps. Thanks, Ramon.
Our next question comes from Domingos Flavina from J.P. Morgan.
Hi, thank you. And again, congratulations on the quarter. I think the cost control was surprising to us. You mentioned, Ramon, just now the one-off results which we saw in information sales, about $9 million. Could you explain a little bit more what exactly that was?
Hi, Domingos. That was an extraordinary non-recurring due to findings on audits that we do to market data users according to our contract.
Okay. So it was just like a one-off price adjustment on a balance that was old or something?
Findings that were not properly paid.
Understood.
In a couple of years.
Okay. And Ramon, adding a little bit on the guidance, I think Ernesto touched on that, but you mentioned certainly not, you didn't change the guidance last year. It's true, but both also beat, right, the guidance. So even if you adjust by the $9 million, it seems that your margins are running pretty high. My question is that a set goal of both Mexicana to not adjust the guidance, like provide once a year and not revisit it? Or like if we go in second Q and, you know, numbers again are running very high, management would reconsider the guidance?
Domingos, it's been our practice, and we, I'd say, for the time being, we don't plan to change it.
Even if you're running very high, as last year you beat it, an example.
It's definitely as of today, we don't plan to change it.
All right. Understood. Congrats on the results again. Thank you.
Domingos?
Yeah.
I would say we won't change it either if we're very high or if in the future we're very low. Our guidance is our goal, and that's what we, you know, that was our best estimate at the beginning of the year, and we'll stick by it. That's what it is.
Okay.
It's not a running forecast.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Frederic Demaris from UBS.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Oriol and Ramon. Many thanks for the call. I just have two quick follow-ups. I don't want to take too much of the time. Follow-ups from previous questions. I think on Biva, we all understand the risk. You suggested that the timing could be a bit, it could take a bit longer than what the competitor is saying, so maybe they don't launch in September, maybe it's a few months later. I guess what I'm trying to understand, and I believe you've done some calculation on this, is understand the potential impact. So maybe if you could just give us an idea of what is the total amount of revenues that would be at risk on your side, if you have some indication on this. And then the second question is a follow-up on a comment you made during your presentation. Could you just give us an update on the pipeline of IPOs in Mexico, what you're seeing, what you're hearing? Thank you.
Fred, good morning. I think the revenue concepts that could be affected by the coming of new competition would mostly be listing and maintenance, and that's going to be affected a lot by how the regulation comes out, and some of the trading revenues. Determining by how much is, we don't have an estimate yet, and it's difficult to say, but those are definitely the concepts that we see could be affected by that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And your second question?
The pipeline.
Regarding the pipeline, I'll pass it to Jose Manuel.
I would say that after the beginning of the year was a little bit tough because of market volatility and some IPOs were postponed until March, as well as all the debt placement that we are starting to see now. In April, I would say that the pipeline that we have is good. Perhaps we can have a couple, maybe three IPOs in the next couple of quarters. We have some Fibra A on the pipeline, a couple of them still confidential. And we have an important pipeline on the CECADES for energy, private equity, and some real estate.
Gotcha. And are you able to provide some kind of an idea of the amount overall?
I will say that some of the regarding the IPOs are not so big. I will say there will be mid-sized IPOs around 400 or 500 million.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fred.
Our next question comes from Carlos Gomez from HSBC.
Hello, good morning. My first question is about the data revenues. You mentioned that they were high because of the exchange rate. Could you tell us what data revenues would be like with a normalized exchange rate at the level that we are now at 18 or 18 and a half pesos? Second, could you tell us if you have to incur any expenses to get your competitor Biva connected and how much that would be and when you would have to incur it? Thank you.
No sé qué número.
Carlos. Good morning. I think, well, if you take away the FX effect on data revenues, you'd be talking about, it grew about 30 million. Nine would be the one-off, about another nine would be the FX factor. Mm-hmm. Now, it's worth mentioning, Carlos, that we get help on the FX, but we also have expenses that are linked to the FX. So overall, we're fairly matched in revenues and expenses.
Okay. And those 9 million that you mentioned earlier, I didn't quite understand the previous answer. So those would be billings that have been updated correctly, and therefore it is a true one-off that should not be repeated?
The non-recurring 9 million, those are, we sell many screens and data that is used, and we bill according to how our customers report they're using the data and how many screens they're actually selling on their side. We audit those numbers, and if they prove to be incorrect, we adjust for the misreport. And that was that's how we can, that's those are the findings that led to the additional income.
Okay, that's very clear. Mm-hmm. And regarding the expenses on Vito?
Sorry.
Do you have to?
Yeah, regarding the expenses, we do not have a number, but let me tell you that we're in favor of competition. We have been saying that, but we are not in favor of subsidizing a competitor. So if we have additional costs, we will be passing them to the new competitor at the fair price.
That's reasonable. Good. Thank you very much.
And our final question comes from Lillian Juarez from GBM.
Yes, good morning. First of all, congratulations for your strong results and exceeding the estimates. I just have one question regarding the new competitor, and it's actually related to the previous question, actually. Are you expecting any increase in fees in any specific segments? I mean, for example, in connectivity fees for brokerage houses, or are you expecting for them to increase, or, I don't know, the segment for clearing, settlement, custody fees? Do you have any comments, or are you anticipating any changes in your current pricing?
Yeah, thank you, Lillian. We are in the process, as we do every year, with or without a new competitor. We always review our fees on the way up or on the way down, or maintaining them. And keep in mind that some of our fees are regulated by the CNBV, but our regulators. So, but we are not planning to do something extraordinary because of that. Regarding the connectivity fees, I think that the main cost of connectivity is not for the bolsa, is for the brokerage, for the broker dealers, that they are going to have to invest in connectivity to the new exchange. And this is a question for the broker dealers, but what we have heard is that this is something that is not going to be paid by the new exchange. It's going to be paid by all the broker dealers one by one. And this cost is, in some cases, for a small broker dealers, could be a significant cost in addition of all the other additional costs that they are going to have because of the new exchange.
Okay. Thank you very much. That was very helpful. Thank you.
We have no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the call over to Jose Oriel for final remarks.
Well, thank you very much to all. Thanks for participating, for attending this call, and for all your questions. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.